Hopefully I've gotten my crying out of the way, but there's no guarantee. I could hardly even sing that song. Well, in light of our brother Dave's departure onto glory, I thought it would be appropriate to preach on something that has weighed heavily upon my heart, and probably most of your hearts as well. And it has to do with the uncertainty of tomorrow while we live in this fallen world. Now, I assume, like most of you, if not all of you, that everything would be okay with our brother Dave. I kind of saw him as this Iron Man who could never grow old, could never wear down, could never fall apart. He's Robo Dave. He's going to go on forever. And even after his stroke, I assume that he would make at least some sort of good recovery and still be with us today. But I was wrong. God had other plans for our brother, much better plans, but certainly plans that probably went against all of ours as well. And so what I've learned from all this is you can never know what a day may bring forth. And that's not just good advice. That's not just a general truth, but it is the explicit teaching of the Bible. So please turn in your Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. We'll look at just verse 1. And it says this, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring." Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. This morning, I want us to look at three things from this verse. First, I want us to see the command given. Secondly, I want to see the object of the command. And third, I want us to see the reason for the command. And then I'd like to make several applications from this text. But before we begin, let's pray together and ask the Lord to, again, bless the preaching of the Word of God. Heavenly Father, again, our hearts are so heavy. But Lord, we pray that through our tears and through our mourning, we would be able to see clearly what the Word of God has to say to us here. So please nail down the Word of God in our hearts and teach us, O Lord, something very true and real about living in this fallen world, that we might always be prepared for that great day. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, the command, the object of the command, and the reason for the command. So let's first look at the command itself in verse 1. Now, King Solomon, who wrote most of the sayings in Proverbs, begins this verse by stating, "Do not boast." So that's the command here in this verse. Well, what does it mean to boast? We have to know what it means to do this in order for us not to do it. Well, the Hebrew word for boast here is halal. And this Hebrew word can mean to praise or to shout for joy. And maybe some of you recognize this word because actually this word forms the first part of the word hallelujah, which means praise the Lord. And we sing that all the time. So boasting has to do with using the tongue to speak loud and proud about someone or something. So sometimes boasting is legitimate to do. And at other times, it is completely inappropriate. So it all really depends on who or what someone is boasting about. Well, when is it good to boast? Well, when your confidence and trust is in the Lord. We're told throughout the Bible that we are to boast in God and boast in His glory. Again, we sing hallelujah, praise the Lord. And so we are to confidently proclaim His praises because believers in Christ have every reason to boast in God because of what He's done through the person and work of His Son, Jesus Christ. that God is the one who made us and God is the one who saved us, and therefore we are to loudly proclaim His greatness to the world. As the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 6:14, "But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." And again he says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 31, "So that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." That's when it's good, boasting in God, or boasting in the cross of Jesus Christ, or boasting in someone not like ourselves at all. We're boasting in our great Savior. But boasting can also be a bad thing. And it is bad when your confidence and trust is not in the Lord, but it's in yourself. If you actually look at Proverbs 27, verse 2, the very next verse, it tells us not to boast in ourselves when it says, "Let another praise you," or "let another one boast about you," same word, "and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips." So we're not to boast about our past accomplishments. We're not to boast about the present gifts and graces that we might possess. And here in our text this morning, we're commanded not to boast about any future plans and purposes we might have for our lives. So this moves us to the second point. So the command is not to boast. The second point is the object of the command. What are we not to boast about? Well, we're told that we are not to boast about tomorrow. Well, what does it mean to boast about tomorrow? Well, it doesn't mean to prepare or to plan for tomorrow. It's always a good thing, it's always a right thing to be prudent and to ready ourselves for whatever the future holds for us. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 6, we're told to go and learn from the ant, which prepares itself for hard times to come. Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8 says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, and consider her ways, and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest," in preparation for a hard winter. So it's not about necessarily planning or preparing for the future, but this is what boasting about tomorrow means. It means basically to confidently proclaim that tomorrow will be exactly like today. That you can expect and even be certain that what you want to do and what you want to happen to you in the future will indeed be the case. That you somehow have the intellect, the smarts, the power, the skill to determine future events. It's like proclaiming, "I'm going to do what I want to do tomorrow in my own power and in my own strength, and no one will stop me, no one will get in my way. My will is going to be done no matter what." Now, you may not actually say these exact words, but you may live in this sort of way. You may be boasting about tomorrow simply by the actions that you take on a daily basis. You may approach life boasting about tomorrow, because it's really more about what's stored up in our heart than what actually comes out of our mouths. So you could be boasting about tomorrow simply if you get up in the morning and hardly pray and seek the face of God and hardly consider the will of God for your life and go about your daily business relying more on yourself than on God. That's boasting about tomorrow. Not really thinking that God is the sovereign ruler of this world and you live in a fallen world and therefore anything and everything could happen to you. And so we can live in this way without ever even saying these words. Well, what's so wrong about boasting about the future? Well, the wise man, thank the Lord, gives us the reason for this great command. So this is the third point, the reason for the command. He says, "For you do not know what a day may bring," or may bring forth. In other words, we have no idea what's going to happen to us on a day-to-day basis. And we know this isn't true for God. He certainly knows what will happen to us on a day-to-day basis. He knows what will happen to us in the future. He is the sovereign ruler over all things. And each day brings forth what He, by His own power and plan and purpose and hand, and even providence, has determined to take place. So all things are governed and directed by God's plan and hand. Therefore, God knows what's going to happen to us. He knows how long we will live. He knows what we will do in life. He knows the decisions that we will make. He knows the joys and the sorrows that we will experience. And He knows the time of our death. And He knew all these things before He created anything at all. Before the foundation of the world, God knew everything there is to know about us. He planned it all. And therefore, everything that happens to us is the outworking of that great eternal plan. But we as creatures of God don't know any of these things. Who here this morning can peer into the future? Who here this morning can search and know the incomprehensible mind of God? Who here this morning has been given access into God's secret decree concerning all world events? Well, the answer is none of us. God is God, and we are not. Therefore, we have no idea what any day will bring forth. This day, the next day, the next week, the next month, the next year, and so forth. You know, the only certainty we have about what will happen to us is what we know right now. Because we don't know what a day may bring forth. Sure, we can work on probabilities about the future. Sure, we can make future projections based on past realities, but tomorrow may look nothing like today if the Lord wills it to be so. So your life could drastically change at any moment. You may have, for instance, you may have many friends today, but tomorrow they may all desert you. You may be held in honor today and be disgraced tomorrow. You may have riches today and be clothed in rags in the morning. You may be athletic and strong today and be badly injured tomorrow. You may be healthy today, but be on the sick bed tomorrow. And you may be alive today, but dead tomorrow. So there's no guarantees in this life, which is marred by sin. Therefore, as John Gill states, we cannot boast of a moment of future time. Not just about tomorrow, but a moment of future time. We, as creatures of God, living in a sinful world, cannot boast of. So that's the command. Don't boast. What are we not to boast about? Tomorrow. And why are we not to boast about tomorrow? For we do not know what a day may bring forth. But what are some lessons that we can draw from this, I think, very sobering yet instructive text? Well, I want to mention six things in the time remaining. They all have to do basically with the uncertainty of tomorrow. So the first one is this. In light of the uncertainty of tomorrow, don't take any day for granted. Some of these things are common sense, but we need to bring them back to our hearts and minds. So do not take any day for granted. I don't care how old you are here this morning. Do not assume that you have another day to live. It's God's sovereign prerogative to give it to you or to take it away from you. Our brother Dave was in his early 70s, but I think his death is still a shock to every one of us. I mean, who would have thought that Deacon Dave would have had a stroke which would lead to his untimely death? None of us expected that. We know he had some health complications. We didn't think something like this would ever occur to him. I thought, and probably many others thought, he probably had 5 to 10 good years left laboring hard with his hands, and then he could begin to relax and rest for the rest of his days. I mean, think about some of the things he did for us. He led the renovations at the GRBC house. He just finished building a front porch onto his own house. And we as pastors had tentative plans for him to renovate the sanctuary next summer, Lord willing. I mean, so we were ready to load him up with all kinds of duties, and he would gladly bear all these things. But where's our brother now? He's in glory. This afternoon, we will lay his lifeless body in the grave as he awaits the resurrection of the dead. Therefore, we can't take any day for granted. We need to appreciate every day God gives us. And just here are a few ways that we can do that. First, we need to be thankful. We need to thank God for the life he has given us every morning that we wake up and every evening when we lay our heads down on our pillows and every time in between. That we need to be thankful always for the life that God has given us. We need to recognize what frail people we are, and we need to come face to face with our own mortality, that we're not supermen, that in this fallen world we will not live forever. The Bible tells us these things. The Bible tells us that we are here today and gone tomorrow. The Bible says our days are like a passing shadow, our lives are like a momentary mist and a withering plant. That the span of our days is like a sudden but short gust of wind, and all of us stand as a mere breath. Now, this is because of sin. We were created to live forever. This was God's original plan for humanity. But, of course, the fall happened, and sin entered into this world, and death through sin. And we're all sinners. And because we're all sinners, we all deserve to die. That none of us deserve to live a single moment in the land of the living. Therefore, every moment we have in God's world is a gift from him. That each new day is a gift from God. Each new sunrise is a gift from God. You know, Pastor Keith Maddie has a friend, a pastor friend, who prays sometimes in the morning, and he thanks God for bringing the sun up again. It seems like a small, insignificant prayer, but think about it. You thank God for bringing the sun up again, because God doesn't have to do that. God is gracious, and he's chosen to do that. So we need to thank him for each sunrise. Each additional breath we take is a gift from God. He could take it away at a moment's notice. Each sip of water is a gift from God. It's said that General Stonewall Jackson used to pray and thank God whenever he drank a glass of water. When's the last time you thank God when you put water to your lips? These are things. We need to be thankful people, because all these are gifts from God. Therefore, in the midst of a very busy life where you're constantly planning for the future, don't forget to count your blessings and be thankful for the life that God has given you today. So we need to be thankful people. Secondly, we need to be dependent people. We need to look to God and not to other things for daily protection and guidance and help. Because by our own efforts, we can't add a single moment to our lives. And I think sometimes we fall into the trap of believing that. By some of the things that we do or some of the things that we avoid, that somehow we can add days or months or even years to our life. We may think, if I eat this certain food or take this certain pill or perform this certain exercise or lose this sort of weight or sleep this amount of hours, I'm going to live much longer than others who don't do these things. Now, I'm not denying that we should treat our bodies right. We should treat our bodies right. I'm not denying that God uses means to prolong our lives. He certainly does. But this is what I'm saying. God has the sovereign right to give life and to take away life whenever he pleases. You could be in perfect health, and you could be in perfect safety and a human way of thinking about things, and God could snatch away your life at a moment's notice. Because we derive our whole existence from God, not from other things. That we live and move and have our being in God. And apart from him, we can do nothing. Our lives are held in the palms of his hands. And God can do whatever he wants with us whenever he wants to. So We need to recognize that God is the author of life and He is also the destroyer of life. And we need to kill within us any sinful tendency towards self-reliance, towards self-sufficiency, that somehow we, by our own efforts, can know what the future might hold for us. So we have to be dependent solely upon God and His grace for our daily provision and protection and preservation in this world. That means we need to pray, and we need to pray more, and we need to seek His will more, and we need to seek His face more, because we need His blessing every day of our lives, because He's the one who blesses us. So we need to be dependent on God. Third, we need to be humble. James uses this verse in James chapter 4, I think, to teach Christians and exhort Christians to throw off all pride and to put upon themselves humility. And this is what James says in verses 13 through 16. He says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." You see, he's using Proverbs 27:1 and making applications to the Christians that he's writing to. Now, this is what John Gill says about these verses. "No man can secure a day, an hour, a moment, and much less a year of continuance in this life. Nor can he foresee what will befall him today or tomorrow. Therefore, it is great stupidity to determine on this and the other without the leave of God." Brothers and sisters, I think we need to get more in the habit of saying, "if the Lord wills." Not in a mechanical way, but in a sincere way. If the Lord wills, I will go and do this, and I will go and do that. Because as our text says, we do not know what a day may bring forth. And if we start saying these things and asserting these things without thinking about the will of God, then our boasting is in arrogance. It's evil boasting. And so we have to make sure that we commit our plans and our work to the Lord, because He is the one who establishes our plans. If God doesn't bless the work of our hands, we labor in vain. If God doesn't establish our steps, then we're going to sink in some quicksand or we're going to fall off a cliff. We need Him to establish our way, and therefore we need to be humble people. And lastly, under this point, we need to be submissive. You know, all of us can have certain routines and habits in life that we get used to, that we can get used to doing the same things over and over again on a daily basis. And there's nothing wrong with that, especially if what you're doing honors God. If they're godly habits and godly routines, that's good. But if God decides to throw a monkey wrench in your plans and your purposes and your habits and in your routines, please don't be angry with Him. Please don't be upset with God. Because again, we don't know what a day may bring forth. And God does not have to play by our rules. So we have these plans and we have these routines and we have these habits, and God can mess them all up if He so desires to. We have to live by His rules. And we must submit to His will no matter what happens to us. No matter how much God crosses our own plans and fair designs, we have to submit to His will. And so if God brings forth something totally unexpected in our lives, if God decides to dash all of our hopes and expectations, we have to bow before His mighty throne. And we have to confess to Him, "Whatever my God ordains is right." We are not the ones in charge. He is the one who's in charge. And we need to be quick to fall on our knees and bow before Him when our plans change by a sovereign appointment. So we need to be thankful. We need to be dependent on Him. We need to be humble. We need to be submissive. I think those are some ways that we can appreciate every day that God gives us and not take any day for granted. But here's the second application. In light of the uncertainty of tomorrow, don't put off till tomorrow what you should do today. It's basically a quote from Benjamin Franklin, but it's true. Don't put off till tomorrow what you should do today. John Gill says, whatever a man finds to be his duty to do in this respect, he should do it at once while he has an opportunity. Now, this applies to both spiritual duties and physical duties. So is there something you need to say to someone? Is there something you need to do for someone? Is there work God is calling for you to accomplish now and complete now that you have been pushing off for the future? Well, we need to do these things now. And I think our brother Dave is a great example of this. That our brother Dave didn't push anything off into the future. Our brother Dave was constantly busy doing the work of the Lord. He was constantly laboring for the Lord, both in physical things and spiritual things. That brother was consistent to come to prayer meetings at 6:30 in the morning every single Wednesday. That brother was consistent showing up at the GRBC house and working from morning to evening to get it ready for the church and the seminary. That brother was busy loving his wife, caring for her, and fixing up his own house so they could have a good life together. And so our brother was good at getting things done. And so we need to be more like him. I think his hard work ethic, especially in his early 70s, puts a lot of us younger folk to shame. This brother was not willing to put things down because he wanted to go full steam for the glory of God. And therefore, we need to have this sort of mentality as well. We need to get to work and we need to do our duty. So, brother and sister, shake off all procrastination and slothfulness. Don't think that you have tomorrow to accomplish what God is calling you to do today. Work while you still have the opportunity to do so. You have hands that still move. You have feet that can still walk. You have a mouth that can still speak. Our brother doesn't have that anymore. Because you do not know what a day may bring forth. So don't put off till tomorrow what you should do today. Well, third, in light of the uncertainty of tomorrow, always live in preparation to meet your Maker. Always live in preparation to meet your Maker. Two of the 70 resolutions that Jonathan Edwards wrote as a young Christian were these. Number 7, resolved never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. And number 19, resolved never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if I expected it would not be above an hour before I should hear the last trump. That's great advice. He's afraid to do something. And this was his resolve. I'm not going to do anything that I would be afraid to do if this was my last hour on earth. Or if Jesus Christ was coming back again in the next hour. So we need to live as if it is the last hour of our lives. And live as if it is the last hour of even this present age. I know things have to happen before Christ is going to come back, but He tells us to be prepared. He tells us to be ready for His coming. And so we need to live with one foot in the grave and our eyes always turned to the day of judgment. One foot in the grave, eyes always on the day of judgment. So we need to order our lives. We need to always have our spiritual bags packed and ready to go because God may call us at any moment to go to heaven. And so we have to always live in preparation to meet our Maker. That's why we're here on earth. That's why God has saved us. He's made us holy. He's conforming us to the image of Christ. So it'll be an easy transition from this life to the life to come. So that we might enjoy and delight in the anticipation that we'll be in heaven forever with our Savior. So I think much of our worldliness would just simply vanish if we live by this principle. If we lived every moment of every day in order to meet God I think so much of our worldliness would go away. I mean, think about how sober-minded we would be. Think about the self-control that we might exercise. Think about how much we would hate sin and how much we would love righteousness if we prepared ourselves every day to meet our Maker. Think about the prayers we would pour out to God. Think about the zeal we would have for the gospel in order to share it with other people. And think about the level of commitment we would have to our Savior Jesus Christ. Well, may God help us to set our minds upon things that are above and not things that are here below. Tomorrow, not only our thoughts are in heaven, but tomorrow our souls might be in heaven as well. Therefore, always stay awake. Always ready yourselves. Always be prepared to meet your Maker. So that's the third point. Here's the fourth application. In light of the uncertainty of tomorrow, keep first things first. It's easy to get sidetracked on small things that in the big scheme of things, they really don't matter very much. It's easy to get sidetracked by hobbies or entertainment or sports or Facebook or social media. And those things may be okay to be involved in, but if they're taken too far, they can certainly steal precious time away from what matters most. So fight hard to keep first things first. Focus most of your attention and energy and time doing the most important things in life, because life is so very short. And we should have no regrets at the end of our lives that we wasted it on doing insignificant little things that do not matter. So a lot can be said here, but let me just point to two really important things I think we need to keep as top priorities in our lives. First, we need to fervently love those who are very close to us. Again, this seems like common sense, but how often do we forget these things? We need to spend time with those that are close to us. Please don't neglect them. Talk to them. Spend time with them. Read the Bible with them. Pray with them. Express your love to them. Give them hugs and kisses and tell them that you love them often, because you never know when it might be the last time that you do those things. When Pastor Joe and I were visiting the hospital last week, you know, Dave progressively got worse. But on one of the days, he couldn't talk, but he could still move his left hand. And he had this laminated alphabet sheet, and on this, so he could point to certain letters to try to spell out what he was trying to say to people. Well, also on this sheet, there were little phrases that he could point to as well, so he didn't have to take the time to spell them all out. But you know what Deacon Dave said to Pastor Joe and I on that little sheet? Well, there's a little phrase that says, "I love you." And Deacon Dave pointed to that as we were trying to communicate with him and talk to him. And of course, that broke my heart, but it also warmed my heart as well. Because even our brother, in such a terrible condition that he was in, took the time to tell his pastors that he loved us. So make sure you do the same thing with those that you love. Again, you may not have another time to say it. You may not have a voice to say it tomorrow. You may not have the ability to communicate these things to the people that you love most. And therefore, take time to do these things. They are simple things, but they are oh so important to do. The second thing is this: get the most out of each Lord's Day. Now, who would have known that October 6th would be the last time that Deacon Dave would spend with us on earth here in the house of God? October 6th was the last time that our brother sat right over there to worship the Lord with us here on earth. Who would have known that was the last Lord's Day for him to spend with this church? We all miss him. I mean, who doesn't miss Deacon Dave asking insightful questions during Sunday school? He was the conversation starter. He was the one who got the ball rolling during Sunday school. How many of us miss eating a hospitality meal with our brother? He was at most, if not all, the fellowship meals and the hospitality meals. I miss that greatly. I miss our conversations. How many of you miss hearing our brother pray during corporate worship? He's one of the first ones to raise his hand, to stand up and pray. I miss that, and I'll continue to miss that. I even miss seeing our brother over there while I'm preaching, looking like he's snoozing away. But I know he wasn't, because he had his eyes closed so he could concentrate on the sermon. But I miss seeing my brother right there. And I wish I could spend another Sabbath day with our brother. And all of us do. All of us do. I wish I could worship God with him together. I wish I could fellowship with him together. But the sad reality is I can't. At least not right now. I can't. He's not going to be brought back from the dead. He's gone to be with the Lord, and he will be there until Christ comes. So we should cherish every moment we have to be gathered together as the church of Jesus Christ. This is sweet and precious and holy time, brethren. There's nothing like it in all the earth. This is the greatest day of the week. This is the greatest event on earth. There is nothing better than the worship of God. So give all you have to the worship of God. Because this is a little taste of heaven. God calls this day delightful and honorable, and he wants us to call it that as well. This is a place that satisfies the very longings of our soul. And so we should long for it. We should faint for the courts of the Lord. As Psalm 84 says, that this place is better than 1,000 elsewhere. And who knows, this may be your last time in God's earthly temple. This may be your last Lord's Day here in the worship of God. Next week, you might be in the heavenly temple of God, which is far better, no doubt. So soak it up while you have time. Soak up the blessings of this day. Feast yourself on the abundance of God's house. Fellowship with God's people. And find ways to be blessings to other people on this day. If we do these things, then we can rest knowing that this was a day well spent. And you know what? If you do this on a consistent basis, that is a life well lived. That is an important thing. The worship of God, the apple of God's eye, this is where he wants us to be. We got to keep first things first. This should be our first priority. And we should schedule our week around the worship of God. Brother Dave did that well. He never missed a stated meeting of the church. And I commend him for that. And we should follow in his footsteps there. Well, here's the fifth thing I'd like to say. I've got two more applications and I'll be done. Fifth, in light of the uncertainty of tomorrow, the only certainty we can have about tomorrow is found in the Word of God. In light of the uncertainty of tomorrow, the only certainty we can have about tomorrow is found in the Word of God. Now, we may not know what a day or an hour may bring forth, but we can be absolutely certain about what the Word of God has to say. Isaiah 40, verses 6 through 8 says, "A voice cries, or a voice says, 'Cry.' And I said, 'What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever.'" So tomorrow may change for us, but we know the word of God will never change. His word stands forever in this ever-changing world because God is the unchangeable God, and he makes certain promises to his people that he always accomplishes. He keeps his promises. As Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Our brother Dave had this assurance that the word of God and the promises of God would endure forever and they would not pass away and they would not fail him. He had that assurance in life and in death. And so he didn't fear tomorrow. He didn't fear death. He didn't fear the judgment of God. He had nothing to fear at all, but he had everything to gain. And so his soul could rest on the promises of God as he lay on that hospital bed dying. And we know he's experiencing the contents of those blessings now in glory. Well, if that's true for Deacon Dave, it's true for other believers in Jesus Christ. That if you're a Christian here this morning, you should have nothing to fear. God has told us about the future in His Word. We're not prophets. We don't know what will happen tomorrow, but God certainly does. And He has told us what will happen to believers in Christ in the future. He has told us what will happen to His people. And all of it's glorious. And all of it's for our good. As Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." These promises, as Pastor Joe read in Hebrews chapter 6, are an anchor for our soul in uncertain times. In times of great worry and doubt and fear and uncertainty, we can bank on the promises of God. We can have peace about the future. We can even laugh in the day of trouble because God's promises are true and real for every believer in Christ. That God's promises tell us that He will never leave us nor forsake us. That He is with us and for us and not against us. That He'll never cast us out of His loving presence. That no one will snatch us out of His protective hand. That He will sustain us to the end. And He will certainly bring us to Himself in glory. Therefore, brother and sister, when bad news comes your way, don't fear. Don't fear the uncertainty of tomorrow. Because you have the promises of God's Word. When tomorrow brings forth trouble, do not be dismayed. Trust in the never-changing promises of God. Lean hard on them every day of your life because they are the only solid foundation that you can put your feet upon, and you won't be moved or you won't be shaken by the fallenness and uncertainty of this world. You can go boldly into the night and face the evil of the next day because of God's promises. He's the unchanging God. He always speaks the truth. He never lies. And He has told us what will happen to us in the future. And so trust in what God has said. And this is the last thing I'd like to say. In light of the uncertainty of the future and the uncertainty of tomorrow, make sure you have a right relationship with God before it's too late. Make sure you have a right relationship with God before it's too late. If you're an unbeliever here this morning, and kids, I'm speaking mainly to you. If you're outside of Jesus Christ, what would Dave want from every one of you? If Deacon Dave could come and talk to you now, and if Deacon Dave could come and share his greatest desire for you now, what would he say to you? What would he reveal to you? Well, I know exactly what he would say to you. And I know what exactly that great desire he would have for your life. He would want you to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Deacon Dave carried heavy burdens for all you children. He prayed for you constantly. He prayed for your salvation. Almost in every prayer gathering, he was praying for the children of this church. And so he cared for you, and he loved you. And he had great concern about the future generation, and specifically for all of you here in this church. He wants you to bow the knee to Christ. He wants you to confess Him as your Lord and Savior. Deacon Dave always also prayed that he would be able to see with his very own eyes revival break out in this land. I don't know how many times he mentioned those things in his prayers. That he fervently prayed to God that revival would come, that there would be mass conversions here in our land today. But I know that his greatest desire would be to see that happen here in this church, under the ministry of the Word of God here. That every single person under the sound of the gospel here would be saved, would believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, would be made new creations in Him. So please honor Deacon Dave's request to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, accept the terms of the gospel, and give your life to Christ. Stop wasting precious time. Time is running out. And for some of you, This may be the very last hour of your life. You may not recognize it. You may not acknowledge it. You may try to hide from that fact. But this may be the very last hour of your life. So don't boast about tomorrow. Don't say that tomorrow will be exactly like today. Because over the course of 24 hours, a whole lot could change. In fact, things could drastically change. Even as you drive home this morning after the service is over, even if you're driving to the funeral, things could drastically change. You're not guaranteed another second of living here on earth. So please, if you're outside of Christ, do not put off your salvation. Do not push it to another day or another month or another year and think that God is going to give you a very long life to live as a sinner in rebellion toward Him, and yet all things are going to be okay, because at one time in your life you will repent and believe. Do not think that way. The Bible says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. It also says, behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Right now is the time to get right with God. Not tomorrow, not the next day, not a month from now, not years in the future, but now. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Today is the day of salvation for you. So don't think that you have time remaining on your life clock to do these things. Because you know what you're doing if you think that way? You're provoking God to anger and wrath. It is really the highest degree of presumption to think that God will give you another day to live while you remain at war with Him. He does not owe you that. If you want justice, you would be in hell right now. But yet God is merciful to you and gracious to you, and He causes you and allows you to hear the gospel of Christ. He's the one who sustains you every second of your life. Think about that. He's the one who causes every organ in your body to work properly. He causes the blood to flow throughout your body. He sustains you and gives you every single breath that you take. And if He so decides, He can cause it all to fail. He can snatch away your life at any moment as you sit here rebelling against Him by rejecting the gospel of Christ. So please don't think that you have many years to eat and drink and be merry and play around with your soul. As remember the parable of the rich man that Jesus talks about? Remember what happens to the rich man? He stores up all of his goods and all of his possessions, and he thinks he has a lot of time to enjoy these things. And yet Jesus tells us that God judged him that very night. So God may snip the cord hanging from your life that you're hanging from, and you may fall headlong into hell. Because you know what? You can have certainty about this if you're outside of Christ. You can have certainty about what the Word of God says about you. And the Word of God says, if you're outside of Jesus Christ, that no, you're not going to heaven. It's not a glorious future for you at all. But your destiny is in hell. Prepared for the devil and his angels, that is where you will be if you do not put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That is something that you can bank your soul upon, because God will not be mocked, and what God has said will certainly come true in your life if you don't flee from the wrath to come and hide yourself in the Lord. So I don't want this for you. Deacon Dave never wanted this for you, and we know the Lord doesn't want this for you. The Lord wants you to be saved. So trust in Him now. Trust in Jesus Christ now while you have the time and the opportunity before it's too late. And leave here no longer boasting in yourself or boasting about the future, but leave this place boasting in one and one only. Boast in the Lord. Boast in the cross of Jesus Christ. Boast in this saving work that has come directly to you. Well, brothers and sisters, thank you for I thank you for this time. May God continue to help us through these difficult, hard days, especially this afternoon as many of us will go to the funeral. And may we think about these things. And we can't boast about tomorrow because we do not know what a day may bring forth. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we pray, give us clarity. Help us to think and help us to react and respond in a way that glorifies you as we think about the death of our dear brother, Dave Eby. Help us, Lord, to put these things into practice. For your people, please build us up. Help us to trust in your promises and your promises alone. And we pray for those who are outside of Christ. Today is the day of their salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not next year, Lord. Please, may you pour out your Spirit upon them. Give them eyes to see. Give them a heart, Lord, that's renewed. Give them a will that's bent toward your glory. Oh, Lord, we pray that no one would leave this place without having serious dealings with their souls and coming to grips with what the Word of God says about them and embracing the only gospel that can save them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.